Okay, it's my great pleasure to come here, and thank you for organizer for inviting me, and also thank you for organizer to organize this very interesting workshop. So I'm from University of KwaZulu-Natal in South Africa. So these days, South Africa, because of the radio astronomy development, that we have a lot of this project of basically understanding physics and cosmology from radio astronomy. So today I want to give you a perspective of how an experimentalist or how a phenomenology, a guy who works on phenomenology to view this whole story of quantum effect. So a lot of the topic will be basically covered in the paper, which will appear on archive very soon, which is called Fundamental Physics with SKA, Gravity and Gravitational Radiation. Okay. So in this workshop, we have heard a lot of this discussion on different astrophysical windows of the quantum black hole. Things like accretion disk dynamics. So these classical orbits basically assume in the model of accretion disk will be basically perturbed in the region around this scale of the light ring, etc. So where the quantum correction could become important. And so these will basically present a source of disruption of the accretion flow in the near horizon atmosphere region. So things like, so one can basically estimate the magnitude of these effects. So therefore, to understand the prediction of the quantum black hole, if this is going to be order one effect. Also, people are also discussing about accretion matter direct imaging. So light emitted from this accreting classical black hole also have some distinguished features, such as a black hole shadow. So people have been mentioning about the future event horizon telescope, which is going to plan to achieve sensitivity of capturing the imaging with angular resolution of micro arc second. And also something about the lensing distant object. And the lensing, due to the gravitational field of the black hole atmosphere, can also provide you another observation window towards probing the black hole scintillation due to the fluctuation of the effective matrix. Another window is about gravitational ring spiral, things like the ring down, the echoes. So people have been talking a lot on this. Basically, you need to build up different templates at least at a linear order to test the predictions. Finally, it's about the black hole pulsar and binary pulsar and black hole system. And this is, I feel this is the most accurate because the pulsar is a really very accurate clock in the universe. And there was a lot of proposal and things like there was a paper by Penn and Broderick. So about testing this fuzzy ball scenario by using the pulsar and black hole system. So eventually, what they said is that the interference pattern will disappear because of the fuzzy structure around the black hole. So one of the most accurate clocks that people has been measured is this pulsar. So this is the Arecibo measurement over 30 years about the relativistic binary pulsars B1913 plus 16. So people has been able to measure the period decay and fitting that with the GR predictions. And you can see that all of these parameters of the optical parameters are fitted in a very, really high precision. Things like the T0, which is an epoch of periasm in unit of modified Julian date, and its X optical parameter, which is about projected semi major axis of the pulsar orbit, and orbital eccentricity, and also the period in terms of days, and also the orbital period derivative, which is a PB dot, and plus the other optical parameters. So really, if you look at the numbers, these numbers are really, really in high precision. And that's why I feel that this final one, if we can measure a lot of them through the future radio survey, we should be able to use that to pinning down more predictions on the quantum black hole. And I think this is probably the most accurate measurement compared to the previous four. So as an example, as a phenomenologist, so I want to show you an example that if we can find those predictions, that we are able to place strong constraint on the value. So one of them is this RS random sundry model that predicts a modification of the Newtonian potential at a second post-Newtonian order. So where the L square, the L is the ADS curvature. So this extra dimension will basically predict that, will link to that there is a mass loss. So this is a paper by Anfan Ren, I think Xinping was there. So it's about, they consider the astrophysics of a very large black hole localized on the brain in the infinite RS model. So using the description in terms of the conformal field theory, basically they can show that this will undergo rapid decay via the very strong Hawking radiation. So you can call this something called a super Hawking radiation. You can see that the value is quite big if the L, the actual dimension of ADS, is about 1 millimeter. So this is about 10 to minus 3 solar mass per year. So this will, if a black hole pulsar system really lose mass like this, then this will cause a time derivative of the period, and that will be greater than zero. And this effect is going to be opposite to the typical gravitational radiation. So normally the GR prediction gives you a decrease of that P. And this is a typical, this is a standard GR prediction that has, people have been derived that for a number of years. So you can see that that value is related to the P, which is the period and the eccentricity, and also the mass of the two objects. So you can put together these two equations about actual dimension, the period change due to the actual dimension, and also the period change due to the GR, and then and adding them together as a theory prediction for the P. And also you have observation, that is from these 30 years samples, which is quite accurate. You see the error bar is it's really, really small. The bracket is the error bar, so that is really, really small. So and then there's an external term, which is due to the relative acceleration of the frame that respect to the solar system, barycenter, that will cause additional contribution to this P. So this is mostly calculated from the galactic model. So if you put them together and assume that this is a black hole binary system, then you find that the extra dimension should be less than 0.4. Mu m micrometer. So this is at 99 confidence level. So what I mean is that because of the error of this is so small that such a really strong constraint can be achieved. If you compare this with the with this paper by using the GW, so Yunis, Yagi, and Pictorius, they use the GW samples. And really, this is actually mentioned, this is much looser than what we have. And so what we have is also stronger than this other X-ray binary system. The other effect which we can talk about is this black hole mining effect. So this is many people have mentioned this before. This is the intersection of the cosmic string with a black hole. So for 2001, basically they calculate the mass loss due to this effect, which is another effect of the super Hawking radiation. So basically, the string attached to the black hole will give rise to an additional channel for energy release. And the paper basically demonstrates that a string crosses the event horizon, the transfer degree of freedom are thermally excited, and therefore the string perturbation propagates along the string to infinity. So you have such a mass loss, and that will basically relate it to a whole bunch of fundamental constants and multiplied by the number of string attached to the black hole. So this number of total number of string multiplied by the string tension is a total back reaction effect. That should be an order one constant value. So although that value is unsure, we can always assume that that value is some sort of order one. So you can basically convert this NS with 1/μ, which is mu, where the mu is a cosmic string tension. So this tells you that the mass loss will be inverse proportional to the cosmic string tension. So if you have a really, really, you need to have very, very, your string shouldn't be too small, because otherwise you have a lot of string attached to the black hole, and therefore that causes a mass loss. So in contrast to the normal cosmology constraint on cosmic string tension, which give you upper limit, this will give you a lower limit. But this lower limit is quite small, so it's not effectively very useful. But there is a lower limit, roughly around 10^-61.
Where did the string tension enter in the previous slide?
Oh yeah, it's basically 1/ns.
Over S.
Ns.
Where is it? Sorry.
This ns. Yeah, ns. Okay, so the current cosmological constraint on mu is mainly from the CMB power spectrum plus the temperature and also the BMO power spectrum by using the current BICEP data. So current limit on mu is roughly around less than 10^-8. Okay, so this is, as an example, I think the future, if we have a lot of such system, and we should be able to place strong constraint on such kind of model. And as an astrophysicist, if I say this, I must say that I must show you that there is a such hope that we can obtain such a lot of data. So the future data, we should be able to obtain a lot of pulsars from the radio astronomy search, and also a lot of pulsar and black hole binary system. And finally, we should also obtain a lot of sample from the of the fast radio burst. So this FRB, which is a recently very popular topics, the physical mechanism and is still unclear, and whether this FRB related to the GRB or neutron star and black hole merging, and these are all not quite clear yet. And how does the host galaxy dispersion contribute to the total dispersion, and how to use that to understand the intergalactic medium is also not yet clear. So there's a lot of things that one can do in terms of high energy astrophysics and cosmology. So one of the things that we heavily involved into this Meerkat SK telescope, so this is about 64 antennas in South Africa, so which has a different sensitivity of different bands, and the total the main dish is about 13.5 meter, and plus the sub-reflectors. So basically, the radio wave comes in, reflected, and eventually received over here. So this dish is not completely a parabolic. So the major focus is actually down there. So in order to have two reflections, so the whole thing is made of aluminum, and so this is basically located here in the Northern Cape province of South Africa. So this is Durban, Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, and Johannesburg. So you can see that we not only have the dishes in Northern Cape, but also have dishes in Namibia and Botswana. And that's the reason of that is because we want to achieve very long baseline to be able to provide the really high angular resolution to see where really the FRB located in the galaxies. So you can see that the Karoo really have a really low radio frequency interference compared to the Green Band telescope in West Virginia. So really the contamination is much lower than the Green Band. So this is the progress. So in the future, in April, we should be able to have 64 antennas ready for doing the survey. So 70% of the time are allocated for the big survey project, and two of them are related to the pulsar and also hunt for the dynamic for the explosive radio transit. Another project that we have been doing and strongly related to the Perimeter Institute is a high-rise experiment, and this is related to perimeter through Kendrick. And basically, this is going to be right now we already have funding available, and basically we're building 100 5 to 6 meter dishes in this kind of frequencies. And so this is also going to be in the radio, going to be in Karoo Desert. So eventually, as I said, when we have a very long baseline, so we have already discussed with Botswana to put the dish in over there. So therefore, the angular resolution will be achieved to be less than 1 arc second. Okay. Another one, which is this Chinese big telescope FAST, the single dish largest telescope for 500 meters, that is in Guizhou province. And this is another great pulsar machine and also FRB machines. So this is the they not only do that, but also in H1 survey, etc., all of the other surveys. But pulsar is one of the major things that FAST want to do. So basically, they have been running that machine for telescope for like 2 months. Already have 10 pulsars already detected. Hopefully, in the future, we should be able to see more such kind of a pulsar and black hole system, and that is a holy grail to testing fundamental physics. So summary, the pulsar, binary pulsar are the very accurate clock to test predictions of exotic physics. Extra dimensions, black hole mining effect can change the predictions of the period change and due to the super Hawking radiation. So we aim to obtain the tightest constraint on the size of extra dimensions. For the current sample, I mean, if we just use that, we should be able to already obtain a limit for the L, and that is tighter than the other, I mean, the GW effect. And also, we can also constrain the cosmic string density from the black hole mining effect, which give a lower bound on the cosmic string tension. So future radio astronomy survey will be able to help us to reveal more EM counterpart of this merging effect, and with really, really high angular resolutions. So Meerkat, SK, Hyrax, and FAST will play a big role in providing more samples of the binary system via the direct imaging or the interferometry. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, Ed, if you missed the first talk. quick question for you. How do extra dimensions contribute to pulsar or slowdown or the orbital?
Yeah.
So you radiate energy into extra dimensions.
Yes.
Or,
yeah. Yeah. That is how it is. Yeah.
Questions?
You didn't actually tell us how many neutron star or pulsar black hole binaries you expect to see with SKA.
Yeah, so
2,000 odd pulsars observed now, and not a single one is in a binary black hole.
So it's going to be very few. So I mean, roughly speaking, the forecast for Hyrax and for FAST is going to be roughly around 2,000, in between 1,000 and 2,000 pulsars per year. And that is a discovery rate, basically. That is a forecast. Certainly, that depends on the distribution, et cetera. You know, there's a lot of. So that is, and so then, hopefully, in a number of years, we should have a few samples of such a kind of system. So
your runs on the string tension didn't depend on the spin. Can you explain a bit better why? So they didn't depend on the
Yeah, so yeah, there's yeah, I mean, it should actually. So if you model that in the curved black hole, there's, it should actually. So there's some other work to be clarified. Yeah.
Sorry, another question. So which observational method it gives you the tightest constraints depends on what you're trying to constrain, right? And I think Kent had the picture that shows that. Basically, for anything that is post-Newtonian order one or above, you're going to win with gravitational wave measures. So this extra dimension effect, this must be at a lower PM order than one, right?
Yeah. So that is, I think is this paper.
It enters at minus 4 PM.
It's minus 4.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. What is that? Yeah.
So what was the mechanism for this second line?
You mean the second line?
Well, the line that gives the rate.
Oh, this one. Okay. This is basically the, well, the author is over there, so sitting just behind you. So this is basically the large black hole localized in the brain in the infinite RS model. So so basically the CF.
I'm a flipstone.
Yeah, so that's, if I just, you should correct it. I'm afraid that doesn't apply anymore, does it? Or?
It's not clear that it applies.
Well, then it was discovered that there are stable black hole solutions in these Randall syndrome too.
There are static stabilities. Not so well established.
This is through Hawking radiation, or?
Yeah, it's Hawking radiation of the dual CFT.
Okay. And you're saying that there are some black holes.
But that was much faster. That was like at the light crossing time or something. Was it at that rate or something?
Not so quick as the light crossing time, but I think it was.
It was much faster than.
It was
Hawking.
way faster. Yeah.
Whereas now they seem like they're more or less, they're almost the same as. Well, okay, maybe there's still.
I don't remember what the bounds, precise bounds were, but yeah.
So that L, that thing that L is less than 0.4, was that based on this particular result? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah,
that's probably highly questionable.
Okay. Well, I'm a phenologist. You should not tell me what to test. So I mean, this is quite big. I mean, this is.
Yeah.
I mean, if you. So you mean there's a more. There's a recent statement of for this to be smaller or something, or more stable.
I mean, things have changed. I mean,
as I understand it, that was an estimate before it was known that there are static black hole solutions.
Yes.
And then Wiseman et al. Found them in Cambridge and sort of scooped our group at the University of Auburn, who found them a little bit later, that these exist. And then they just have very tiny modifications because of that extra length. I mean, you're only the very tiny modifications in the size. Now we didn't test stability or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, if they're unstable, then, well, it's not known. But I wouldn't trust much.
Okay, you don't trust your paper. Okay, I trust more of your paper than me. Okay.
Let's try energy again.